You're listening to Talk 1260 KTRC, Humanity, the Experience, with your host, Betsy Ronell.
Happy Saturday. This is Betsy Ronell here with Humanity, the Experience on Talk 1260 KTRC. I'm with Ellen Antill, the founder of a really unique group here for girls called Storytellers. Welcome to our show.
Thank you, Betsy. I am really honored to be here.
Thanks a lot. Thank you for coming on. So tell us about you, first of all. Who is and what does Ellen Antill do?
Well, I have been here in Santa Fe for 2 years. Okay. Love it.
Yes.
Absolutely. I'm a lifer.
Yes.
I came here after over 30 years in Phoenix.
Okay. Oh, okay. So it's familiar territory.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Southwest. Okay. Brought up in Southern California.
Okay.
I was a life coach. I called myself a life coach for about 7+ years in Phoenix.
Okay.
I went through kind of a change, and now it's been reborn, my work, and I'm calling myself a relationship facilitator. That's a lot more appropriate. And I'm the founder of Storytellers and also Authentic Life Consulting, which works one-on-one with women of all different ages.
Okay, so you specialize with women?
Yes.
Okay, good. So if a man came to say, can you help me? You say, no, I'll refer you elsewhere.
Well, that's just not my specialty.
Okay, good. Well, that's fine.
Yeah.
Good. Man confines it other places. All right, so tell us about what is Storytellers, first of all.
Storytellers is an opportunity for girls and young women, and actually women of all ages, but right now I'm really trying to target age 12 to 22, to have a safe space in which to share their whole story and learn how to embrace and love their story and hopefully love and embrace themselves and come into greater authenticity.
So hard these days, don't you think, with the media and just girls, I think, learning about sexuality so much earlier.
Absolutely, absolutely. And it's, you know, there are a few parents who may not be completely aware of what their girls, you know, even as young as 9 and 10, are having to deal with out there, especially in schools and the community. It's very, very hard, really challenging.
It is. I have an almost 10-year-old son.
Yeah.
And we go to a pretty, in-zone bubble kind of school. But even those girls, they're like, some of them wearing lip gloss in the classrooms. And I don't have daughters, so I don't judge whether the parents condone that or not. Some of the parents don't condone it, and the little girl sticking in a lip gloss in her bag and putting it on in school.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and they're wearing, like, super short shorts. And I don't think they know what that means, but whoever they're looking up to is doing that, so they're doing it.
Yeah, yeah, lots of role models that maybe aren't the healthiest for our young girls.
Yes.
And older girls, too.
Yeah.
And women, period.
Women, period, yeah. It's so true. And another thing I find being a woman is I don't have this problem now. I found, you know, I just, here in Santa Fe, I have an extraordinarily strong group of women friends, and many of them, surprisingly. But there's all this, women backbite each other, and they just try and cut each, not in my circle of friends, but in other circles that I've been in, they just try and cut you down, and and it's all out of fear or feeling threatened and you know, or being jealous or whatever, all these petty things. And instead of saying, wow, I really like her strength.
Absolutely.
Or I like her hair, something as superficial as that.
Right.
I'm going to emulate her instead of cutting her down.
And you said a really important word.
Yeah.
You said fear.
Yes.
And that, you know, in my work with girls and women, it's really an arc. It's like, you know, all of us have fears about different things. But really supporting someone in that arc of growing out of their fear, learning how to trust themselves, trust key others in their life, community, and maybe there is a spiritual component there too, because that is an important part of this process.
Sure.
But that arc of fear and learning to move into trust, that's what it's all about. That's how we become real.
Fear, I have seen it create havoc on other people's lives, and it's a horrible, horrible thing, and it's so sad for the people that run their lives by fear and then, you know, will try and conquer someone else with it or think they're conquering someone else with it, and it's really not affecting that person the way they wish it would.
Yeah.
they run around, it's not working on that one, I'm going to try it on this one, or I'm going to try it even harder. I don't understand that. And it's with men and women.
Oh, absolutely.
I've seen it.
It
with
makes
men
us do really ugly things.
Yeah. Really. Shameful things, inhumane things. It's very strange.
Really harmful.
I've never functioned like that, so I don't understand how. I can get it, how people function that way, but I don't. And I always pray for people that I see trying to cause me harm or, you know, my husband harm back in the day. And I'm like, I am so sorry for you that you are so scared inside that you have to try and take down someone who's just doing good things and positive.
And it's
things.
Great that you can see that.
Yeah.
See,
you know. Well, I learned that over time.
Yeah. Somebody who's acting out.
Yeah.
It's not always fear.
Yeah.
Very, very, very often that's what's at the core of it.
Yeah. So, I mean, even, you know, you and me, if we react to someone, like on the road, say, here's something very basic that we all go through. On the road, if someone cuts you off, one reaction could be, you're angry. How dare you cut me off? Oh, my God.
Yeah.
But the reason you're so upset, angry, is because you're scared because it could have cost you an accident. And what does that mean? It means you may lose some money. It means, you know, it's fear.
Yeah.
And so that just motivates so many people. It's scary and it's sad.
And if you're just, you know, if you are younger, especially,
yeah.
I mean, true for older also, but if you're younger and you're starting out, you don't know that.
Yes.
You don't understand those things.
Of course not.
And it's very, very helpful, as you know, as you just mentioned, that you have a good group of friends.
Yes.
To have community.
Right.
And that's where a group like Storytellers can be so, so essential.
Exactly.
For somebody coming up.
Exactly.
And learning about themselves and learning about the world and how do I learn to respond to people and life.
Right.
Differently.
Right. Right. Yeah. I don't want to get off the question, but I want to just start. We have a bunch of questions that I want to go through, but I want to just ask you. So where do the girls that come to you come from? What are their sort of their backgrounds?
You know, that's the beauty of this whole. I mean, storytelling is millions of years old.
Yes. Right?
It's so basic. It's in our DNA.
Yes.
And it's totally customizable. I mean, depending on the particular girl or group of girls or women who want this process, it may be, maybe it's a group of girls who are really well educated.
Yeah.
And maybe they come from middle class or upper class homes.
Right.
Or maybe it's girls who don't have those economic advantages or even the educational advantages. I've been doing a lot of networking this year in Santa Fe.
Yeah.
I've been talking to a lot of churches with youth groups. I've been talking to a lot of nonprofits that serve youth.
Good. You should talk to Gerard's House.
Okay.
I'll talk to you about that after. That's wonderful nonprofit.
Wonderful.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, I've been to people like Solace and Adelante and youth shelters lots and lots of different groups and people are responsive to this.
Yes.
So, I don't know where the first group is going to form.
Yeah.
But it's just where the juice is.
Yeah.
It's for anybody who wants it. Yeah. It is for girls, young women, middle-aged women, older women, whatever.
Yeah.
This is an utterly transformational process for anybody who wants to get involved with it.
I think you should go into the schools with it.
I've spoken with schools. I thought for many years that I wanted to become a nonprofit.
Okay.
I met with a nonprofit attorney about a year and a half ago, and then I had to go, you know what, I really don't want to go into all of that.
Yeah, it's a lot.
So then I discovered that you can actually have a fiscal agent without being a nonprofit yourself.
Oh, interesting.
And then you can apply for grant funding, for example.
Okay.
Naming that fiscal agent as the nonprofit, named nonprofit. And they take a little percentage off the top, and then the funds can flow to you for your use in the community. So I am being sponsored by Partners in Education.
They are
a nonprofit. So I'm now in the whole area of researching and applying for grant funding.
Good. Well, Partners in Education, my God, that's outstanding.
So you talk about schools,
right?
Yeah, that's what it's all about.
That's outstanding. Okay, so. Tell us what the Storyteller's process is.
Okay, say somebody is interested. They give me a call. I meet with this girl. Maybe she's a teenage girl. I meet with her one-on-one, talk with her about the process, give her an idea of what it's going to be like, and see if she's really feeling committed about being in the group.
Yeah, you say you have to have a 3-month commitment.
Well, I would love it, yes, if people could make at least that kind of a commitment. Generally speaking, it's a longer process.
Sure.
But I usually find that once a girl gets into it and begins to form relationships with the other people in the group, they just want to stay with it.
Of course.
Yeah.
Who wouldn't?
So we'll meet maybe if it's necessary to talk to parents. That's not always the case. And then maybe we'll have, I like to have at least three or four girls in a group.
Sure.
No more than eight. That's a lot.
Yeah, that's a lot.
And I generally work with one or two co-facilitators. And we will meet in a space, generally speaking, depending on how large the group is, we'll meet for about an hour and a half to 2 hours. It involves, in the first weeks, of course, it's all about building trust. Me with the girls, them with each other. Sometimes participants will know each other already, which is interesting. I'll tell you later about the storyteller group I did in Phoenix.
Oh, good. Okay.
But it's all based on very basic human principles like affirmation. You were just talking about that a little bit ago.
Mm-hmm.
Protection, permission, vulnerability, giving these young women tools to grow these principles in their lives.
Yes.
And depending on the makeup of the group, you know, we can read books, we can do journaling, we can do experiential tools, transformational experiences. Not everybody reads. Not everybody has time to journal and all that. So it's completely customizable. And, you know, it can go on. A group can go for 3 months. Hopefully it's not that short.
Right.
Generally speaking, it takes maybe 9 to 10 months
sure.
to really get some juice going.
I like that.
You know, and so once we get to know each other a little bit, then I'll start to invite girls to start telling their story.
Nice. Good. All right. We're going to take a break on that. That's a perfect ending. We are Humanity the Experience with me, Betsy Ronell, and we'll be right back here on Talk 1260 KTRC. Welcome back. Humanity Experience on Top 60 KTRC. I'd like to thank my sponsors, Mary Nerbonne, the Skin Whisperer, Dr. Aaron Mayberry of Mayberry Plastic Surgery, and Sangre de Cristo Tennis and Racquet Club. Love you all, and thank you. Okay, Ellen Antill of Storytellers.
Yes.
Let's continue what we're talking about. So you were talking about the level of commitment you would like from girls who get into the program.
Mm-hmm.
So is it you decide if your services can work for the girls, the intended girls?
I just need to know that they understand the level of commitment.
Okay.
You know, generally speaking, if someone gets as far as wanting to talk with me,
sure,
it's going to be fine.
Yeah.
It's going to be great.
They want the help.
Yeah.
Okay, good. So give us an example. I mean, we already went over what a typical group session was like, really, did we?
Or
did we
just I mean, we were talking about that. But, you know, after several months, generally somebody will start to share their story.
Yeah.
And it's such an awesome experience to watch the girls gather around and be witnesses and honor whoever is sharing their story. It's really, really hard. The women that I've worked with who've done Storytellers before say that's the most challenging part, is actually telling your story, depending on how painful your story has been.
Right.
And some of us have a lot of pain in our story, a lot of darkness.
Yeah.
But it's all about understanding that that's important. That's how we grow. And anyway, so watching people be a witness, be honoring to the person who's telling their story, and be trustworthy.
Yes.
And then for the person who's sharing, to see that they can trust other people, that confidence will be held.
Maybe for the first time in their lives.
Maybe for the first time in their lives. Yes. Often.
It also teaches you to be a good listener, with like a heart listener, to call it.
Yeah. I mean, we kind of set parameters in the beginning
So
that everybody has an understanding about kind of what the ground rules are, and absolutely being, confidentiality, not gossiping, being trustworthy and learning what that means. Yeah. Yes.
Critical. Yeah. And I've learned just throughout my life, I always find that when you share your story, there's always at least one other person that can identify with exactly your story, or it touches we all have loss, we all have pain, we all have suffering in our varying and relative degrees, but we're all human, and so we all have the same, well, most of us have the same spectrum of emotions, and we go through pains. It could be, you know, your grandma dying, but my dog died, and to me that was equally as painful as your grandma dying, but it's loss, and so we can all identify. So I always tell people, when I know people who are really struggling and really just can't get their story out, unlike me, I have no problem sharing my story, but it heals me to talk about my story, and so I always tell people, just put it out there. Put it out there. You'll be amazed and overwhelmed at the support you will receive.
Yes. And
you're not alone.
Right. And when you know that you're in a safe place.
Right.
And you're maybe listening to the leader of the group, perhaps, go first.
Right.
And kind of set the tone. That opens everything up.
It does.
Can I read a quote?
Because yes.
This was kind of the quote that inspired me.
Okay.
And I read an article by A.P. Bauchner more than 10 years ago.
Okay.
And it's out of Qualitative Inquiry magazine, a periodical. And he wrote, "These stories bring suffering bodies out of the darkness of the alley into the light of day, transgressing the taboos about telling and risking rejection in the name of the right to speak and the longing to be heard." And I just kept that.
Love it.
In the back of my mind.
Yeah.
And then Storytellers came to birth about 4 or 5 years later.
Yeah.
You know?
It's very true. And another thing I've always said over the years is, know your truth. I don't care what your truth is, but if you own your truth, it doesn't matter if everyone else in the world is going against you. If you know your truth, you can stand strong in the face of anything.
And having somebody who you trust in your life tell you what your strengths are.
Right.
And that's one of the important things that we do in Storytellers, is a whole process around affirming one another's strengths, because you may not know, you may have no idea what your strengths are. In fact, you may think you have no strengths at all. Talk about self-esteem issues.
Yeah.
But when you start to hear people you trust tell you, oh man, you are such a kind, giving, gracious, whatever it is, person, and if you trust the person who you're hearing that from, you're going to start to believe it about yourself.
Absolutely. Yeah. It softens you. It kind of wakes you up for the first time.
You don't have to be so afraid.
Right. Right. Your armor kind of, you know, shakes off you.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's very interesting. It's true. And so that's why I like what you do. That's why I wanted to have you on the show, because I love
Thank you.
Women, in my opinion, are so smart, and we could run this world so much easier and cleaner than it's been run. And I'm not a man hater at all. I love men, but I'm raising two sons, and I innately see the difference between boys and girls.
Big difference.
Fascinating.
Yes, I have a son and a daughter as well.
Yeah, I mean, isn't it fascinating
to
see that?
Completely different.
Gosh. Yeah, and I used to harp on my husband about things. I'm thinking, his sons do the same thing. Our sons do the same thing. I shouldn't have been so nasty sometimes. You know, but it's true. And so I just think women, with the power that we innately hold, if we don't recognize it and embrace it and enjoy it in each other, that's not a safe thing. So I love what you're doing, because you're saying it's good.
Yes.
It's okay. And let's celebrate each other.
Yeah, absolutely. And for me, I mean, this whole process is about, helping girls, women to find their voice, and then to be able to understand how they are uniquely gifted to influence this world. And it may be in a small circle of influence, different circles of influences, or it may be on a much bigger scale.
Sure.
But to help people, help women to become liberated and to understand what their dream is, and then how to go after their dream.
Yes.
And do in this life what nobody else on the planet can do. Because we're all uniquely gifted.
Right. One girl A can't do it the same as girl B.
Nope.
Totally different DNA.
That's right.
And no dream is too big.
That's right. We can do anything. We truly can.
Exactly.
That's not Pollyanna.
No.
It's true.
Living proof, you know.
And it's I am too.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. I mean, that's it. And your dream may not look like it did, you know, back when you originally dreamt it, but you may be in that dream. You may have reached mm-hmm. that dream just through another means.
Yeah, it just keeps evolving.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. But you're in it.
Yeah.
See, I love that. And I love that you're targeting younger girls and women.
I would love to try and do as much preventive work as possible.
Good. That's good. We're going to take a break in a second. But in the next story, I want you to give us a story, an example of one of the things you were going to mention in your Phoenix group.
Good. I will do that.
Okay. So you've been here for 2 years. This is good. So Ellen Antill of Storytellers, and she is also a relationship facilitator and authentic life consultant.
Thank you.
There we go.
Very good.
All right. We'll be right back. I'm going to thank my sponsors again. Marion Urban, the Skin Whisperer, Erin Mayberry of Mayberry Plastic Surgery, and Sangre de Cristo Tennis and Racquet Club. I'd also like to say a quick thing. Gerard's House is having the Dia de los Muertes, Day of the Dead celebration on November 2nd from 4 to 7 at their facility. And you can look that up under the website, gerardshouse.org, I think it is. And I'll be emceeing that event, and it's going to be really fun. All right, so we'll be right back. Humanity Experience on Talkville 60 KTRC. We're back, Humanity the Experience on Talkville 60 KTRC. Okay, Ellen Antill, so tell us about the story when you mentioned that sometimes it's interesting when girls who know each other previously enter into a group together.
Yeah, I did a group in Phoenix. I started out, it was going to be a one-year commitment. I had three sisters, two sisters, and then two individuals. So seven women.
Right. Wow.
And they had all come up through another program under the auspices of this faith-based nonprofit that I was working with. And this was actually part of my master's thesis. These young women had all really known each other since they were kids. They were all in their 20s when I met them. And I walked into their lives kind of middle-class, middle-aged white lady, and they were all Native American and Hispanic. They didn't know me from a hole in the ground.
Sure.
But the director of the nonprofit kind of stood with me with her arm around my shoulder one day, introducing them to me. And she'd known them since they were little.
Okay.
And so she looked at me and she said, "Now you can trust Ellen. I know her."
Good.
Well, they were kind of looking at me askance. Well, anyway, all right, so I started meeting with them. We had dinner every week. We had a childcare program. We were meeting every week. And I thought it would be a one-year commitment. And they all kind of sat for about the first month and a half with their arms crossed, looking very skeptical.
Sure.
And we did an exercise one night called Ask Me Anything, where I gave them to choose one of five questions to answer. And it started very surfacey, like tell me the names of your brothers and sisters. And then you could go really deep and you could talk about, well, tell me one of the most difficult things you've ever done in your life or something difficult that's happened to you. So we went around the circle. There were probably 10 or 11 of us in the room. Everybody was keeping it pretty surfacey until it got around halfway the circle to me.
Yeah.
And I went, okay, what are we going to do here?
Time to shift things up.
That's right. So I shared something very, very dear to me, very hard, and something that was really painful that had happened to someone I loved very much.
Okay.
And everybody kind of, you could kind of hear them take their breath and kind of sit back and go, oh.
Yeah.
And just like you were talking about, oh, dark things can happen.
Everybody.
To everybody.
Sure.
And then everybody who shared after me went deep.
Good.
And that was a big change point. Anyway, as we got further into the process and listening to one sister, for example, share her story.
Yeah.
And then listen to another sister and another sister, everyone's perspective was so different.
Absolutely.
Totally different stories.
Yeah. Was there dissension amongst the sisters?
Oh, yeah, sometimes. Okay. And we'd have to just go, no, just let her have her say, because this is her story.
Yeah.
It's not your story.
Right.
You know, and we met for about a year, and they did not want to stop. They didn't want to stop, so we went another year. We actually met for 2 years.
That's
we had a big graduation ceremony at the end. And these all of these young women had children. One of the young women had seven children.
Wow.
There was a history of really horrific abuse that most of them had experienced. Now, that is that doesn't have to be the case with a storyteller's group. It can be applicable for anyone, no matter what the experience in life is.
Right.
But, you know, storytellers can be a preventive, can be very helpful for girls who are starting to encounter relationship issues, problems at home, cutting, eating disorders, depression, anxiety, all the things that begin to come at us at such a young age.
PTSD sometimes for childhood trauma.
Absolutely.
Don't even recall.
Yep.
In
that's
teenage
right.
years.
That's right.
Yeah.
You know.
Wow. Oh, that's, I, gosh, wouldn't that be nice to have had this all along?
I wish I'd had it.
Yeah, me too.
You know?
Me too.
Yeah.
Gosh, I'd love it. And yet, you know, here's the funny thing. Two mom friends of mine and I were talking actually at the end of the school day, and one of my friend's husband went away to some male retreat. It had to be organized.
Uh-huh.
It had, you know, specific scheduling, and they were going to do this male thing at this time, this sharing thing at this time, back to this male thing. It was a male bonding weekend.
Yeah.
It's happening this weekend.
Yeah.
And I thought, good for him. That's fantastic, you know, that he wants to explore himself. And so my other friend said, we should have one of those groups. And I said, why? We do this all the time. So women and girls are so prone to explore and willing to explore, you know, after a point, a point of comfort.
Yeah, and but you're right. It seems like when you do get a group of women together, they are much more prone to start sharing.
Because there's a level of trust, like you said. That's
there seems to be. There's I was talking with a friend of mine, Andrew Tree, who works with Boys to Men.
Okay.
And he was talking about how he has to take the boys and young men away for an activity. They have to do an activity. They have to get out there and climb a mountain. Then he can bring them back into group, and they'll be much more willing to share.
Isn't that interesting?
And verbalize.
Yeah. It's very interesting. I know. And, you know, it's like what you did. It takes one. Just start the domino effect. You share your depth, whatever you choose to share.
It
lets people know.
It's so common, right?
Yeah.
Okay, well, let me ask you this.
Yeah.
When you're listening to a leader, for example, it could be a teacher, a pastor, a CEO, somebody who's speaking to you in a group, and that person shares something really authentically vulnerable about themselves, and you know it's not an act. I mean, you can just tell when it's real.
Sure.
Don't you start to trust that person? I mean, it could be Obama.
Yeah.
It could be Romney.
For me, it's Oprah Winfrey.
It could be Oprah Winfrey.
Yeah,
it really is.
I know that sounds so trite.
No.
I swear to God, that woman changed my life about 15 years ago.
That's why she's so effective.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
she's really vulnerable about her life and her story, and she doesn't try to put on airs and try to look like she's got it all going on. No, that is not how we influence people and lead people.
Exactly.
In my opinion.
The human traits are what make you accessible, approachable, personable.
Yeah. And it that's what makes us more trustworthy. And that's how we actually can gain more influence.
Right.
You know, hopefully we're doing it in a really healthy way.
Right. You know? That's why I've done this show, because so many people are like, what happened? You know, and look at you, you know. And then I had the naysayers like, oh, yeah, blah, 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 whatever. I took this show to get out there, give my story, you know, without going into dumb details and, you know, giving bad people a chance to exist on the air.
Yeah.
I've just told my side of the story. Uh-huh. And it's made people come up to me in the street and be like, you're Betsy Ornell, aren't you? I am. I don't know who they are. So I'm like, what do you want? You know, who are you?
Uh-huh.
And, you know, they're like, I heard your show on whatever. Thank you so much for talking about your husband.
Yeah.
Or, you know, I lost my husband and la, la, la. And so it's just, you know, or thank you for talking about your boys or the sadness you've gone through. So it's made me very real and very human and creepily at times very approachable in town.
yeah. But when we can tell our story with honesty and depth,
with your truth,
that's when we change people's lives.
Exactly.
That's
I don't care what your truth is. If you're a nasty, nasty person, own it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I am a mean, ruthless person, you might say. Not me. Some Joe Schmo, somebody like that.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, you're the weakest, most gentle, most vulnerable person because you've been stripped down to nothing by your parents.
Yeah.
Whatever it is, own it, and you'll be that much more authentic, and people will say, well, that guy's a real jerk, so stay away from him, but he knows he's a jerk. So there's a little level of respect that goes with it, instead of being a mean, evil person and saying you're a Buddhist priest, for example, and then going giving lectures with the face of a Buddhist priest on, when underneath you're the most dark and rotten human being one could ever come across, you know. So,
I don't know, kind of, if somebody is kind of faking it, doesn't it kind of come through?
It always comes through. Buddhist priest or no Buddhist priest, and I am saying this deliberately because there is a sick individual in this town who calls himself a Buddhist priest. And it comes through. You ain't fooling nobody.
Right.
You know?
Right.
There's a doctor, here's another example, back to myself, of course. I'm kidding. But there's a doctor in town who just despised my husband, and he's one of the reasons my husband was just attacked like he was. He now is trying to copy what my husband did, all our philanthropic work and all this stuff. I'm like, you know what? You can put a lipstick on a pig. A pig is still a pig. You ain't fooling nobody, buddy. And, you know, there's a reason why you weren't successful before. There's a reason why you'll never be successful.
Because
inside you're a rotten human being, and you can't fool people. People are not as stupid as you wish they were. People are smart.
Yeah, people are actually pretty insightful.
They're very insightful. And that's another thing. Don't you find that you're trying to teach girls and young women to trust that insight? I find we go against that.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. I mean, all about trusting your voice.
Exactly.
Trusting your core self.
So important.
So that you can speak. Yes.
Here's an example. I knew a couple of girls. I went to UNM for a year. I knew a couple of girls, not well. They were raped. On the campus, you know, sadly, it was by the football players at the time. I hate to say that, but it's true. They were the football team at the time. Those people got expelled, of course. But the girls knew them, and they, you know, they kind of knew them, you know, at parties. And so they were the football players. And they, you know, they went back to their rooms, the football players' rooms, and they knew. They didn't feel right. But they're like, well, I'm just scared or whatever. Nothing bad's going to happen. They were raped. Now, it wasn't a violent rape, but rape is violence. It wasn't.
Oh yeah,
there wasn't battery involved.
It doesn't matter.
Right.
It doesn't matter what level of sexual abuse it may be.
Yeah. And they tried to downplay it though by saying, and I actually just repeated their words. Well, he didn't hit me or anything.
Oh no.
And I said, my God, he took. I didn't want to. I don't remember really what I said, but I remember thinking he took everything from you. But I didn't want to say that because I didn't know how they were digesting it. But essentially, I mean, that is what a rape does. It takes everything from you.
Yeah.
And but those girls were so angry at themselves, not at these stupid football players, at themselves for not listening to their inner voice.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. We miss a lot. If we haven't learned how to do that.
Yeah. Right. I still keep in touch with one of them. I don't think to this day she's acknowledged what really happened. And I don't ever want to acknowledge it for her because that's her journey.
No, that's right.
But I just, you know, I see it. And I mean, I do it myself. Oh, I kicked myself. I shouldn't have done this. Or, you know, I knew I shouldn't have, you know, turned
I know
left.
Better than that.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. I mean, whatever it is. And women do. We have that sixth sense.
Yeah.
And we need to really honor it.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
This is a fun conversation. Ellen, how can people contact you?
Let's see. Ellen Antill. My email address is E Antill. That's E-A-N like Nancy, T like Tom, I-L-L, at gmail.com. And my cell phone is 505-577-3930.
Good. And you're looking for grants, you're looking for support and sponsorship and all that.
I'm looking for people to get involved, be co-facilitators, funding support, whatever. However, if anybody feels juiced about this, give me a call or send me an email.
That's how Santa Fe works. You spread the word around and it comes to fruition.
Yeah.
Good. All right, we'll be right back.
Earth Care is youth leadership for community change dedicated to empowering and educating youth to create healthy and sustainable communities. Be a part of the solution, not part of the problem. For more information, go to santafe.com, keyword Earth Care.
Back, Humanity Experience on Talk Show 60 KTRC. Ellen Antill is going to give us some real examples of through stories from her experience with girls and storytellers.
Yeah. So let me just talk a little bit about Paula.
Okay.
And I'm going to be using pseudonyms here. But Paula was in my Phoenix group. And I remember meeting her for the first time, and she was laying on her couch, and she had two toddlers and a baby at that point. And She wasn't real motivated to do anything. And she called herself a couch potato.
Oh.
And she had a history of some abusive relationships with men. She'd had a drug history. She was clean. She was struggling with weight. She came into Storytellers.
How old was she?
She was probably 21 at that point. She came into Storytellers, and she was very shy. She was one of three sisters in the group. And more and more and more, she started to come out of herself, eventually told her story, finished her GED while we were still doing the Storytellers group. And now she is in college, and she's working. I think she pretty much works full-time as a preschool teacher.
Wow.
And she's pregnant again and very excited to be pregnant.
Good.
And in a really solid relationship with her partner. And is having this tremendous influence on young women's lives.
Nice.
Another woman, I'll call her Carmen, came to this country with her parents from Mexico, so she was always worried about being undocumented.
Sure.
And was just one of the hardest working young women I have ever known. When I met her, she was probably 22, had three children, worked full-time in a dental office, and was going to school part-time, going to college part-time. She'd worked herself that far. This woman worked so, so hard. Well, now she's graduated from college. She's going to nursing school.
Wow.
And she's working part-time, not in the dental office anymore. She had one of the most horrific abuse histories I've ever heard. And this woman, again, she is living this, she's not completely fear-free or anything
sure.
like that, but she is living a vibrant, transformed life.
Good for her.
I am so proud of how hard these women have worked.
It's amazing.
And anybody, if they're in the right setting and they understand that they're loved, and they're accepted for who they are, and their whole story is accepted, and they've learned to accept their whole story, and they don't judge themselves anymore. You can do anything.
Absolutely.
You really can.
Absolutely. I think that that's so beautiful and so true. There's another segment of the population that you see struggling with this. It's women in their middle age. They may have a marriage that has failed, sadly. They may have a spouse that's died, for example. That's
mm-hmm.
less so. But
right.
Or they may be in a marriage that is unhappy.
Yeah.
And their self-esteem has been so whittled down, maybe not by the actual abuse of the husband in any way, shape, mm-hmm. or form, but just by the existence and the labor of having a difficult relationship. And they really have resided themselves, or whatever the word is.
Resigned themselves.
Resigned. Thank you. Hello. You know, trauma is a brain injury as well, I've
yeah.
learned. Because, yeah. like, my brain does not work right anymore. Anyway, so they, like, I have someone I know who just has no self-esteem.
Mm-hmm.
And yet everyone around her likes her. Everyone uh-huh. around her sees all this good stuff in her.
Uh-huh.
Yet she can't figure out what to do with herself.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you have so many gifts. Everything you touch turns out good,
yeah.
turns out well, turns out more beautiful for you having touched it. What don't you see? She can't see it.
It sounds like she has a real issue trusting,
yes.
trusting herself and even trusting other people.
Yeah.
Because you and others love her
yes.
very much, it sounds like,
yeah.
but she's not trusting it.
She's not. And like when she walks around, I thought maybe I was just crazy. When she walks around, she sort of has like walks with a glow.
Hmm.
And she told me that, and I never told her that. I just always thought that to myself. And then she told me that someone walked up to her somewhere and said, wow, you have such a beautiful aura,
wow.
which is such a yeah. thing
yeah.
to say. But it's true.
Yeah.
And I said to her, I said, I never wanted to say that to you because I thought maybe you'd think I was nuts. But it's really true.
Yeah.
You walk sort of in this light.
And wouldn't it be magnificent
yeah.
if she could actually see it herself?
She cannot.
Aww.
It's so sad. She's so far from seeing it. I don't know if she'll see it in this lifetime.
Can I just say this, too,
yeah.
Not necessarily about your friend,
yeah.
but I do Storytellers groups, but then I also do one-on-one work
yes.
with women of all ages. And that's what I call the Authentic Life Consultant.
Okay.
So, you know, if anybody is interested in meeting with me one-on-one, I'm very, very open to that as well.
And for that, you take all ages as well?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah. That's great. So I think what you should do to get the word out more about yourself
yes.
is do some creative event here.
Uh-huh.
you know, and let Partners in Education or someone sponsor the event for you. Let them get their credit for sponsoring it.
I love that.
Because we live in a Native American state, essentially. I mean, we live in a Native American country, for goodness sakes. We just took it over in a crude and disgusting manner. But and they are the traditional storytellers.
That's right.
So, I mean, celebrate that through your
work.
That's
a great idea, Betsy.
I love that.
Thanks.
I can talk to you more about that. I'm good with these ideas. But I think that's what you should do to get the word out and, like, really publicize it on Facebook and do all that. Because what you do is invaluable. And I know that we have Girls Inc. that's wonderful. But Girls Inc. only works up to a certain age, I believe.
Yes.
Okay, good.
And I'm not sure what it is. Maybe 10?
It's young.
I don't know for sure.
Yeah. And they do amazing things. But again, it's only to a certain age. And they have their scope of work. And you have yours.
Right.
And I think there's so much room for you in this community. And in a community where I find, traditionally speaking, you know, with a lot of old school thinking here, women are kept in a certain place and expected to receive bad treatment. Not myself. I'm talking about, you know, the Native Americans, perhaps the Hispanic population. I see women and they're like, oh, yeah, my husband goes out every night. I don't say anything. What? You know, excuse me. You know, and they just are put in these subservient roles and they don't like it and they don't know any better.
Yeah.
And, you know.
And that's just as true, too, for maybe other you know, races. It's all over.
It is.
No matter what the economic strata is.
Very true. That's very true. And people often think, oh, well, you know, someone has money and they have an education, so they expect more from them. You don't know what goes on behind closed doors.
We have no idea what the story is.
Yeah,
no
exactly. Idea. So we need to find out.
Yeah.
Storytelling.
Yeah. Thank you, Betsy.
I love it. Okay, give your contact information one more time.
Email is eantill, E-A-N, like Nancy, T, like Tom, I-L-L, @gmail.com. Cell is 505-577-3930.
Great. All right. This was a really fun show. I know I said that already, but it was.
Thank you so much, Betsy, for talking with me.
Oh, my goodness.
I appreciate it.
All right. So thank you, Ellen Antill, Storytellers and Authentic Life. You want to be called a coach? Consultant, right.
Relationship.
Sorry, I got the word. Yes, relationship consultant. And that's it. Get in touch with her. You can find out from me at 471-1067 here at Hutton if you know, need her information in the future. I think she's someone we need to keep around here, everybody. I really do.
Thank you.
All right, good. Okay, Humanity Experience on Talk 1260 KTRC. We'll catch you next time.
The Friendship Club is dedicated to serving the recovery community in the Santa Fe area. It includes all persons seeking recovery physically, mentally, and spiritually, holding a variety of positive classes and activities where people can heal and help one another. For more information, go to SantaFe.com, keyword Friendship Club.
Girls Inc. inspires all girls from 5 to 18 to be strong, smart, and bold. For inspiration and more information, go to SantaFe.com, keyword Girls Inc.